Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I have found my iPod from college.
No.
And I think we should play the songs that are on this iPod coming back from break on Friday. What was Andrew Filippone listening to?
I'm ready for this show.
You know?
I'm ready for a pony musical
marathon. What was on that?
Oh, man. It's hard for me to imagine you not just like finding a way to download like some sort of radio show and just listening to sports on your iPod. The idea of you actually listening to music is almost hard to believe.
Our guest right now is headed into his seventh year as Pitt head football coach. And we're happy to be the Pitt flagship, and we're excited to have him back on the fan. Pat Narduzzi is with us. Pat, Andrew Filippone, Chris Muller. I found my iPod from college that has all the songs I listened to when I was 20, 21 years old. If we found an old audio cassette of what Pat Narduzzi was listening to in college, what would be on there?
Oh, boy. I still got my old iPad somewhere, probably in my nightstand that I never look at anymore with Spotify and everything. But what would you find? You know, I got an old CD case. I don't know about cassettes. It's been a long time. You must be older
than me.
But
what were you listening to in college,
Jackson
Pat?
Jackson Brown? I don't know.
What were you listening to in your college days?
Hey, AC/DC for sure.
Okay.
AC/DC, Scorpions, Rocky Like a Hurricane, Foreigner, ZZ Top.
Oh, wow.
Pat, you said Foreigner. My ex-girlfriend's favorite song was Jukebox Hero.
And then Jukebox Hero, oh, yeah.
And then she cheated on me, and then we had to break up.
Not a happy ending there, no.
Oh, man, not good. Not good at all.
Hey, Pat, how you been? Good?
Hey, been really good. You know, June's obviously a crazy, crazy month for us as coaches here at Pitt and across the country with recruiting,
yep,
with official visits. On Sunday night, all of our freshmen are now here on campus. So we're trying to, you know, we have like what we call mini camp, and we're getting those guys, you know, indoctrinated into Pitt football and how to act as Pitt Panthers. So that's kind of it's wild. And I just got back from a funeral. Trey Tipton's mother passed away. So our prayers and everything go out to,
absolutely,
you know, to Trey Tipton, who's been here as long as I have, and still got another season to go. So, you know, it's a tough situation, and you know, our team has been so supportive. And you know, I think most of the guys were up at the funeral home today.
What were your thoughts when you found out about the college football playoff expanding, but probably going to expand from four teams to 12 teams, Pat?
Oh boy, you know, I go back and forth. You know, you've probably heard me in the past say, you know, the wear and tear on our student athletes. I mean, you know, I know it's about the money, but for a head football coach and someone that's got four children that are dear to me, you know, I always think about the wear and tear on student athletes. And these guys, you know, have aspirations of playing in the NFL at some point. So that's the first thing that comes to mind is more games. And then the other thing, you know, the other thing that comes to mind is You know, you hear about these opting out. I don't think there's a fan in the country, regardless of school, that really enjoys opting out. And when we went from the BCS and, you know, and the computers picked the two teams, I don't think they got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go to four teams, you know, in a playoff, and that's when you started seeing, you know, these players opt out. And so my feeling there is, you know, the bowls have diminished. The NCAA wants the money from the bowls, and we know how, you know, how critical the bowl system is to college football and to the NCAA. But, you know, my thoughts go all over the place. So there's so many different, you know, thoughts on that. And I'm sure they're not going to listen to coaches. But, you know, the one thing, you know, I think one of the things that concerns most coaches across the country, guys, is that this opting out and, you know, if it went bad from 2 to 4 and people are saying, hey, if we're not one of the four, you know, hey, we're going to go get ready for the NFL. And, you know, I think opting out of bowl games has, you know, gotten bigger and bigger every year. And we don't want to, you know, to diminish, you know, what the bowl season is. I mean, that's how I grew up. That's how you guys grew up. If you were listening to Ford and Scorpions, I mean, the bowls were big. I mean, you sat New Year's Day and watched those New Year's Day bowl games. That was fun. And all of a sudden, now it's really just a four-man race. So, you know, to go to 12 would be great. However, if you go to 12, I think there's going to be more opting out than ever. I think it's just going to increase. And who wants to go to bowl game with half your team? I think that's something that we all have to look at. And, you know, and I'm sure people making these decisions will hopefully take into account everything. But, you know, I really worry about, you know, what's going to happen to all the other bowl games, what's going to happen to, you know, all the other universities that aren't one of those 12, you know, what happens to them? What happens to, how important those bowls were to us? And you know, one solution I got to it, you know, I've been thinking about this, you know, since that rumor came out, is we need to pay these kids to play in bowl games. There's name, image, and likeness coming out. You know, these guys will get like $500 of bowl gifts, but there should be something like, you know, $3,000. You make a bowl game, you get some big money. You know, these kids deserve it. You know, it's time for change there. So if we do go to 12, you know, they have to, you know, have some incentives for those other bowl games to play those games. And if they're going to make all this money with 12 teams, then, you know, share some of that money and give it to these kids.
Pat, you mentioned name, image, and likeness right there, and that's kind of where I was going to go next anyway. But how are you preparing personally for the way that that's going to alter the landscape of college football? How do you think it will? How's it going to affect recruiting? Like, what are the big things that go through your mind when you consider this name, image, and likeness change that's going to be coming here this year?
Well, you're hitting all the hot topics today.
Well, you got to be talking about this among your players and coaches, right, Pat? These are big hot-button topics in college football right now.
But you know what? We're not making those decisions, and we're not there yet. So the first thing, Cousin, there better be some consistency through college football. There's got to be consistency. And there's an easier way to do it than what we're doing. I think everybody realizes these kids need to make more money. They need to be paid better than what they are. It still is amateur football. But, you know, for the last 6 years, we've had what we call cost of attendance, which our players get paid. You know, they get their stipend for, you know, housing and food allowance, which is normal part of the education. But there's also this thing called cost of attendance. And I won't throw it out there. But, you know, each of our scholarship players get this, it's a few thousand. I'll say that. That's kind of their salary, which is really not enough. An easy way to take care of it is let's increase their cost of attendance. I mean, it should be whatever the federal cost of attendance is at each university. And then, you know, the NCAA or someone needs to, you know, put in, hey, we're going to add another 5,000 or 10,000 to these kids for the year to take care of them. That's an easier solution to pay our players than name, image, and likeness where there's no rules. I mean, I think come, you know, July 1st, there's going to be some schools around the country, some states that they're allowed to do something extra. And there's a lot of states out there, most of them, that can't do anything at all until this thing goes through. But our athletic department, Heather Leick, you know, she's a great leader. She's been working on it. She's got a task force in charge of that. So, you know, they're coming up with the ideas and the solutions of what we can do. But until there's legislation on what we can do, everybody's hands are tied until there's some national solution, because you have to have, you know, it's legalized cheating in some states. And so we got to figure out, what's equal. Because I think this game of college football, it's amateur football, it's got to be, it's equal. I mean, there's different logos across the country here, and there's, you know, different teams across the country and different conferences, but there's got to be some type of consistency. You know, you can't say, hey, I'm giving you two scholarships. You know, that wouldn't be fair if a kid had two scholarships as opposed to some kids have one. So those are the things that I think need to get ironed out. And
Pat, we're not there in Pennsylvania yet? You're saying we're not in the NIL? Like, this is a state where that hasn't been... Okay.
No, we're not. You know, some of the states that come to mind that are is Florida,
Georgia,
Georgia, Texas,
and your Alabama is
California,
too.
Recruiting against Georgia Tech, Miami, Florida State. You're playing those teams.
That's right. We are, and that's where it's going to start to get, you know, a little unequal here. And you know, I don't think the NCAA can do that. I mean, that's I know down in Tennessee they've been handing out, you know, McDonald's bags, but this is a different way of handing out McDonald's bags, I guess. I don't know.
Pat Narduzzi, our guest here on 93.7 The Fan. So good to catch up with him. So it sounds, just listening to you so far here, Pat, that, you know, college football right now is complicated, and you got a mixed feelings on where, you got a lot of mixed feelings on where the sport in general is headed. Is that fair?
It is really fair. I think there's a, you know, we're in a different stage. I mean, this COVID era has turned us into something else, and we're going into a next era. And there's a lot of question marks about where college football is going. And you know, as an old ball coach, you know, I really don't like where it's going. And again, I just want things to be even. I mean, you know, we know when we get on the field, things aren't always even, but financially, we can't make things even more uneven.
How have you tried to stay sort of ahead of the wave, but I mean, like Andrew said, it feels like there's a wave that's cresting that's going to kind of wash away what we knew about the sport and leave something new in its place. I mean, how are you personally just trying to not cope with that, Pat, but like brace yourself for it, I guess?
Yeah, I mean, we know all this coming, but, you know, really, you have to focus on the present. You know, we can't look too far ahead. You know, I let other people do that. That's what our athletic department's job is to do, and my job is to go out and recruit, you know, bring the most talented, the best character guys we can at the University of Pittsburgh that are going to represent this university. That's my job, is to win football games and put the best product we can on the football field, and that's what I've got to focus. If I start worrying about something else, you know, your football team falls apart. So I'm focused on today, and, you know, we got a camp here in about an hour. It's going to start here in our football facility, and I'm just moving one day at a time, not moving too far ahead.
Pat Narduzzi with us here on The Fan. Yeah, because I think when this news came out, that we're talking from fans' perspective, not guys that are working in the business of college football like you are. When the news came out, expanded playoff, I think fans rushed to say in media, this is great for college football. More playoffs, right? More teams can get in. Now the group of five schools got a shot. I even got a little excited. Oh, Notre Dame can't get a bye. Maybe it forces them to join the ACC. Pat, I got a little bit excited about that. Maybe I got ahead of myself on that and more.
Yeah, I think a lot of people have, because they just think about, like, it's December madness, right?
Yep.
Everybody likes the tournament, you know, the NCAA basketball tournament. It's fun to watch. But I think the thing people fail to realize is this is not basketball, you know? Football is not a tournament-style thing. And, you know, and again, they've been, you know, people talk about the 1AA playoffs, and, you know, I played in 1AA football, and, you know, people weren't opting out of the playoffs in 1AA. They're playing, they want to play as many games they can in hopes that the NFL team will look at them, and they'll have their opportunities in the NFL. So there's no reason to opt out. But football is not a tournament game.
Mm-hmm.
It's a collision sport. It's a high contact sport, and you need rest and you know, there's a lot of things that go into it. Football is different than basketball or baseball or any other sport.
And I think I'm wrong about the Notre Dame thing too.
Hold on,
Chris.
You made me happy about that. Just the thought of seeing Notre Dame on maybe an ACC coastal schedule every year, Pat, I was getting a little hot under the collar here.
I don't know.
I was feeling a little good about the idea of that happening.
I don't know. What do you think, Pat? Is this going to pressure them into joining a conference?
I don't think so. I think, you know, Notre Dame is worried about their pocketbook, and I don't think it helps. They don't want to share any revenue. That, you know, obviously the major, you know, Power Five conferences do. They're their own conference, and you know, I don't know if it'll pressure them or not, but I feel they probably feel that they're good enough to do it on their own.
Is the transfer portal good for Pitt, bad for Pitt, indifferent about it? We talk about it with college basketball, which just wrapped up, like it was the wild, wild west, Pat, like it was rampant in that sport. Is it the same thing with you guys? How about the freedom of movement for college football players in 2021?
You know, I think it's good. It's been, you know, the portal has been good for us, because I think we got incredible kids. I think they love playing at Pitt. I think the culture we have at Pitt, you know, and what we sell is, you know, our guys aren't really going in the portal. I mean, there's different reasons to go in it. And you know, I saw something come out on Twitter. Someone sent me the other day, and we're like one of the top two teams with the top fewest at the Power Five. I mean, there's teams that have 26 guys in the portal. You know, I forget who the highest teams are, but there's something out on Twitter. You can probably find it. But, you know, we're one of the top teams in the country as far as not losing guys. And that goes to the culture. That goes to the city of Pittsburgh. And it's really, it's the University of Pittsburgh. I mean, it shows well for the university. And so it's been good for us. We've been able to dip in there and get somebody if we need to. But we're not losing. I mean, you know, I'll go back, and I don't want to throw anybody, but, you know, you got starting quarterbacks in some places so I won't even say the name, mm-hmm. starting quarterbacks at a Power 5 school will leave that Power 5 school and go to another Power 5 school to be the starter there. And we've got Kenny Pickett that's, you know, a starter for, you know, almost 3.5 years. He bypasses the NFL combine, bypasses his invite to go to Mobile and the biggest all-star game there is, the Senior Bowl, to come back and play at Pitt. I mean, he very easily could have gone and played somewhere where, you know, maybe he thought the grass was greener. But, you know, our kids, you know, love it at Pittsburgh, and that's what I'm proud of.
What's it going to mean for your program to have Kenny back for one more year under center?
It means a lot. You know, Kenny Pickett is an incredible competitor. He's tough.
He's a football player, Pat. You know what I mean? He's not just a quarterback. He's a football player.
He's a football player. He doesn't get enough credit. He really doesn't. That guy's going to play a long time in the NFL. I've been around some NFL quarterbacks from, you know, Big Ben when I was at Miami of Ohio in 2003, his last year of college, and, you know, to Kirk Cousins. You know, I really think that Kenny Pickett is an unbelievable quarterback. He's like a Kirk Cousins type guy. He's going to play. But, you know, for Kenny, I thought he was gone. You know, when the season ended, you know, I was joking with him, like, you know, he always wanted to get his freshman year back because he only played in 4 games. And mm-hmm. the new redshirt rule is you can play in 4 games and still redshirt. So, you know, we were hoping that would get grandfathered in, and it didn't. So he was always begging for another year because he wanted to play here at Pitt and get that extra year. And I thought, again, at the end of the year, I was joking with him, like, hey, you still got that extra year now. You got back what you wanted. And, you know, he was out the door. But, you know, he's got an incredible family, and mom and dad, and the support system he has back there in New Jersey is something that, you know, a lot of kids don't have out there in college football, and he's got it. I think he made a great decision, and, you know, during the COVID year, it was hard to develop a backup quarterback, and, you know, we played Notre Dame and Miami, you know, two pretty good football teams in this country with a backup quarterback, and these poor kids didn't have a spring ball, you know, really didn't have a normal fall camp, a modified fall camp, and so we've got another year just to develop those guys when Kenny leaves. So really, you know, it was incredible for us to have that opportunity to have Kenny back just to, you know, help not only Kenny in his career, but also for these guys' future as far as who's going to be the future behind that offensive center position.
Well, let's hope when you guys go to Tennessee, instead of money in those McDonald's bags, there's burger and fries for those guys.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it.
Let's hope the Volunteers are eating losses. Eating a big loss after that one.
Hey Pat, you're super busy right now. You said you got camp in an hour. When you get a little bit of time in between fall camp and the camps you got going on right now, you go on vacation. Where's Pat Narduzzi going for a few days to unwind? Where do you relax, Pat?
Pat Narduzzi and the wife and my 4 children will be headed up to Rhode Island. We'll spend it in southern Rhode Island, down by the beaches there. It's a spot, you know, my wife is from Rhode Island. We both went to school there. So we'll vacation up there, see family, and try to relax. But, you know, a college football coach with a cell phone and an iPad, there's not a whole lot of relaxation. But I'm going to try to find time to put that phone down and focus on family.
Those Breakers mansions, are they too touristy now? Those are old hat for you guys. You go and you say, leave that to the tourists to tour the big mansions up there.
Well, like Newport and that
stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, those are, you know, I've never been in one of those mansions. We've driven by, you know, we used to use it in recruiting when I coached at the University of Rhode Island, but I've never been in one, but they're nice to drive by. But yeah, that's
how about the seafood, Pat? You do lobster rolls and that kind of stuff when you're over there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. There's a place called Iggy's down in Point Judith, all the way down there, and a place called George. George is down in Point Judith that's outstanding. The seafood's, you know, not bad, and got some good friends up there that go on a boat and get a little deep sea fishing. My kids went last year for the first time and they were dying to go again.
Cool. Well, we thought we'd have an expert on that could tell us what was going on in college football and obviously with Pitt, and you did a great job, Pat, so thank you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate you having me on today, and hail to Pitt.
There you go. Pat Narduzzi.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.